The following program is made possible by generous gifts from partners of Benihin Ministries and viewers like you in this area.
Say out loud, Lord Jesus,
I believe you are the Son
of God. You rose from the dead.
Cleanse me with your blood,
and I am
born again.
Pastor Benihin is urgently preaching the gospel to the lost because the world's only hope is salvation through God's only Son, Jesus Christ.
The gift of God is life eternal.
This is your day to join Benihin in proclaiming Jesus as Savior and Healer.
Tonight we begin training you precious saints on this most important truth, that the healing power of God belongs to every believer.
Recently, Pastor Benihin conducted a Training for Ministry conference in San Antonio, Texas. In the conferences, he examines a wide variety of subjects as the Lord leads him. And in this particular session, he shared on how to pray for the sick. On today's program, and continuing throughout this week, you'll hear portions of this two-hour-long teaching which will give you instruction on your rights, privileges, and responsibilities as a believer. Now let's join the thousands of pastors, church workers, and ministry partners gathered in San Antonio's Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center as Pastor Benny begins this most important message.
Every one of you is going to face a moment in the near future where someone is going to ask you for evidence of God's power in you. We are reaching the place in this world where the world now is looking for proof. Ye shall receive power. We know that from Acts 1:8. But the world is now looking for proof. Prove it to me. Show me the power of God. They're not going to believe your word. They want evidence that what you're saying is truth. The Bible clearly states in Mark chapter 16, go with me there please if you will. Jesus said to his disciples and to you these words, go ye therefore, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now that is what New Testament preaching is all about. This is what the New Testament church experienced. This is New Testament living. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of power. The gospel is the power of God. Paul wrote in Romans and Corinthians. Now, say after me, the gospel is the power of God. Say it, please.
The gospel is the power of God.
Say that again.
The gospel is the power of God.
In other words, it is the heart of the power of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ explained clearly to us in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel of Jesus Christ is God's power, and the fullness of that power resides in the gospel. Not in anything else. It's not the preaching of our word, it's the preaching of His word that brings the power of God. Now, here it says the Lord working with them, confirming the word. Well, in this day and age, the world is looking for this power. They're not going to accept your preaching or arguing. God did not call you and me to argue and debate. He called us to preach the gospel with power. When they came to the Lord, when John the Baptist had sent his disciples to the Lord and said, "Are you the one, or do we look for another?" In other words, are you the Messiah, or is there another Messiah? The Lord sent them back with this answer: "Go tell John the gospel is being preached and the sick are being healed." Why? Because the prophets in the Old Testament, please hear me carefully, the prophets in the Old Covenant had predicted that the Messiah would preach and heal. Therefore, if he only preached, he would not be the Messiah. If he only healed, he would not be the Messiah. The Messiah would preach and heal at the same time. So he said to them, he said, "Go tell John the gospel is being preached and the sick are being healed." And you can read this for yourself in Matthew. He said, "Go tell him the gospel is being preached to the poor, and the blind are receiving their sight, and the lame are walking," and so forth. In other words, without the power of God, the gospel is empty. Because Jesus said, he said, "The proof that I am the Messiah is in the preaching and the healing." Say preaching and healing. Say it. So when we take the healing ministry out of the gospel, we stop the power of the gospel. Then the preaching of the gospel without the power of God is having no lasting results. My friend, it's not convincing the sinner. It's the convicting power of the Holy Ghost that they need. Not my convincing, not my arguing, not my debating. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the gospel. But every time the gospel was preached, the power of God was right there. Every single time in the scriptures. Matthew 9:6, Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee, arise and walk." The power of God displayed with the forgiveness of sin. You say, "Well, now wait a minute, Benny Hinn. There are people preaching the gospel today who do not have a healing ministry." I agree. But please listen to what I'm saying to you. Those people who are preaching with power, and when I say power, I don't just mean healing. The power of God is the evidence. It's what transforms that life. Yet these individuals, if they really want the full gospel, they need to allow the Holy Ghost to finish His job, bringing deliverance to the captives. Not only those who are captive in the spirit, but also captive to sickness. I don't see one time Jesus or the apostles preaching the gospel without demonstrating the power of the Spirit. Paul said, "I didn't come to you with words. I came with the power of God." The world needs the power of God. Let me hear a big amen. Amen. Now, when you begin to operate in the fullness of power, there will be demonstrations following the preaching of the word every single time. Many of you are preachers here. How many are pastors? All right, wave your hand at me, pastors. It's time you allow the Lord to fulfill His word. Because without it, we as Christians and believers cannot survive. Look how many people are in many churches today. Nobody gets healed. Nobody is free from demonic activity. And so they walk out knowing the word, but all tied up on the inside, all bound by some bondage or some sickness, and have given up on believing for their own healing. Many of them are dying prematurely. Many of them are living with bondages that do not belong in them or to them. We need the gospel. We need the power of the gospel. If somebody has a devil, get the devil out. If somebody is sick, lay hands on the sick and bring healing. If somebody has mental troubles, place your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I break that thing. Come out. Take your authority as a believer. That's what the apostles did. Now, the healing ministry belongs to the church. There's no such thing as a healing ministry belonging to some special group. It belongs to the whole body of Christ. Say with me, the healing anointing is mine. Say it again, please. Now, Jesus said, ye shall receive power. Isn't that right? And that promise is a definite promise, correct? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, correct? Are you, precious people, really Christian believers? Are you born again? Then you have the legal right to be anointed. And the Bible says you are anointed. Now, the problem is most people just don't know how to release it. They don't know how the anointing operates. They have no clue how to allow that anointing to flow out of them. And it's really quite simple. I'm going to give you a 10-minute message on it. Are you ready? Yes. Okay, it's quite simple, even though I've taught this before, but nobody's going to understand how the healing anointing flows till they know how the anointing flows. Please understand, every one of us, born-again believers, everyone has the presence of the Lord within you, abiding forever. In John 14, 16, 17, we read that the presence of God is in you forever. The Spirit abides forever. So say with me, the presence of Jesus abides in me forever. The presence of Jesus came when I met him. So when you were born again, his presence came. Definite. Done. Now that presence people misinterpret as the anointing. It's not the anointing. This is where the mistake happens. Oh, I feel the anointing. Hold it. The presence of God and the anointing of God are not the same. The presence of Jesus comes in at salvation, belongs to every believer, no matter who that believer is, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal. Now, once the Holy Spirit is in you, and he comes in you at salvation. Say at salvation. I receive the Holy Spirit. Say it. Now we charismatics believe that we receive the Holy Ghost when we are baptized in the Spirit. No, you don't. The Bible says we receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. Now, later, as we seek the power of God to live that Christian life, we come to the Lord asking him to endue us, to empower us for service. The presence of God is for living. The power of God is for service in that life. So when Christ comes into my heart, his presence is mine. And now that presence, and I want to talk about this for just a moment because this is so important. The presence of God cannot be felt. We think we feel the presence of God. That's not biblical. Because what the presence of God really does to us, it cancels our emotions. It cancels the flesh. Some of this you may have never heard before. You need to hear it and understand it. When Moses sought the presence of God. In Exodus 33, he said, show me your glory. Verse 18, Exodus 33. In Exodus 34, beginning at verse 5, God begins to reveal his presence. And what does he do? He reveals himself. He reveals his nature. He reveals his attributes. He reveals his heart, not his power. God's power was revealed in Egypt to the Egyptians and Israel who did not know God. So Moses, in fact, was saying, I have seen your power, now show me your glory. When God revealed his glory, he was revealing his nature, himself. So he comes and says in verse 5, the Lord is merciful, long-suffering, gracious, and so forth. And then he says, and that will by no means justify the guilty. In other words, his justice is revealed. Are you still listening? So the presence of God has nothing to do with his power. The presence of God has to do with his nature. When we are born again, we receive the presence of God. We begin to fellowship with the Lord himself. We begin to know the Lord himself. Now, when the Lord reveals himself to us, it's an overwhelming experience. So much so, you lose sight of yourself. All you see is Jesus. That's the true experience of the new birth experience. It's not a matter of I receive Jesus. It's a matter of he becomes the all in all in my life. I surrender spirit, soul, and body. But nobody hardly teaches that anymore. What do we hear today? Just pray after me. No, give your life to him. Completely to him. You no longer own your life. He owns your life. It's an exchange. It's a total exchange. You give him your total life, you receive the fullness of his life. That's real Christianity. That's what we're lacking, sadly. But the moment that exchange happens, Jesus becomes all in all to you. His presence becomes very real to you. What the presence of Jesus really does, first, it cancels you. It crucifies the flesh. The presence of the Lord stills the soul, will never stir you up. Now, when the power of God comes, you explode with praise. You explode with emotion. You explode with joy. And you've had that happen to you, I'm sure. How many ever felt like you're about to explode with joy? Well, that's the power of God that caused that. Remember what David said? He said, my heart is in tiding a good matter. He was about to blow up with joy. And when the apostles would preach with boldness, what was that? The power of God. When Jesus spoke with such power, the power of God. When Paul the apostle looked at the man and said, get up in Jesus' name, power. The power of God is what turned those fishermen into bold, powerful men. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, and they still were locked up in the upper room. Now you hear what I'm about to tell you. Don't ever forget this. They had the presence of Jesus and could not face the enemy. But when the power came, the doors were wide open. And they became so bold as you say, you crucify the Son of God. No fear now. Are you getting what I'm telling you? Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, and they locked themselves in an upper room, scared to get out. Therefore, the presence of God, as wonderful as it is for private fellowship. It's heavenly, but it's private. It's heavenly, but it's for you. Now, when the power comes, you'll swing those doors open and preach the gospel with such power and such boldness, devils will start running in every direction. That's what we're lacking. Are you listening? Therefore, a preacher can preach with the presence of Jesus in his life, and he can cry while he's preaching, but nothing is happening in the congregation. Because he has the presence of God, but lacks the power. And when he lacks the power, he's in heaven, but his people don't know where they are. They're struggling with their own problems. But once the power is released, my Lord, those people are going to be coming out of their bondage, coming out of their sickness.
Pastor Benny Hinn's complete teaching on how to pray for the sick is available to you on CD, along with a second message from this conference titled Laying On of Hands. You can learn to access the power of the Holy Spirit, which is available in your life to minister to others. Both messages can be yours for a gift of $30. So call or order online today.
And to Jesus be all the glory and the praise. That's right. He promised our healing. In fact, the Bible says, I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. This is the promise of God. Remember that. You just heard a powerful message today from a training for ministry conference on healing. In these conferences, I teach on different subjects. In this one, of course, the one session was on healing, and you only heard a small portion of this powerful teaching. A great book I want you to have by Derek Prince. This is a free offer, Blessings and Curses by Derek Prince, whom I knew for many years. In fact, I met him before I was married, and he was there. He was the one who prayed over my wife and I when we were engaged. In this, he talks about the invisible barrier, talks about seven indications of a curse, talks about curses from servants of God. Can you imagine that? Also curses from servants of Satan, self-imposed curses, soulish prayers or utterances that bring a curse. He talks about how to pass from a curse to a blessing, the prayer of release, a whole lot more. This is really dynamite. It's a free offer. Call today. Our offer for the month, this beautiful Wings as Eagles sculpture that I want you to have for a gift of $25 only. And the scripture right here from Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Hallelujah. This is for a gift of $25 only for the ministry. Now, please remember that when you call and sow a seed, you are helping me take the gospel to the nations. But God will bless you. The Lord will reward you, whether you call for something like this gift or just to sow a seed because you just want to bless the ministry. God will bless you back, honor you, and reward you, and prosper you. That's right. Give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give to your bosom. And this day, as you sow seed, you not only protect your present, you protect your future and the future of your loved ones. I'm asking many of you also to become partners with the ministry. Listen, precious saints, the Lord is opening the world to the gospel. And I'm asking the Lord to touch your heart to be a partner with me, or if you were at one time, to come back and be a partner again. Thank you. Tune in again for a whole lot more on the teaching on healing, and I pray this is your healing season. Amen. Love you. Bye-bye. This is my class here, the best class in the world, and they love you. Listen, we wanna pray for you together. These are some of the most powerful people on earth, and the people said,
Amen.
I teach them the Bible, and they love it, and I know you love it watching it in your home. The Lord really put an idea on my heart that I have just shared with these sweet people. I want to share with you. You know, God's heart is touched by your needs. Yes. And Amber and Phyllis, come up here, will you? These precious people here lead our prayer ministry. And a lot of the people in this room come here and pray all the time. They come and pray. And what I want is I want you precious people to send in pictures of your loved ones, whether they are on drugs, whether they are suffering with some sickness or bondage, whether some son or daughter is about to go through divorce. No matter what, we want to pray for you.
Amen.
Allow us to pray for you. Please say amen.
Amen.
A lot of these people in this room pray, really. I walked by the prayer room a few times. You can feel the glory of God up there.
The anointing.
The anointing. Yeah, I wanna just have you say that. The anointing is strong up there.
The anointing is very strong there. You feel it when you walk in, and the people that come out and help us pray, they've mentioned too that the anointing is so strong.
Both you and Amor call people on the phone who are desperate.
Yes, and it's such a blessing to them to hear from them, knowing that you're looking over their prayer requests as well as we. And
well, Amor, thank you for leading this wonderful ministry, which is a part of our ministry now, to pray for the people 24 hours a day. They don't stop praying. That prayer room upstairs is open day and night. Many of these precious saints can walk right in and pray, and they do. Please send us pictures of your loved ones. You have our word. You have our word. Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
That we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on the pictures of your sons, your daughters, your brothers, your sisters, your mommies, your daddies, your aunts, uncles, friends. Include friends who are hurting, people who are in need, people who are going through divorce, people who are in bondage to sin or some drug addiction or some whatever.
Yes.
Send us, please, those prayer requests. From now on, we will, in fact, the walls will be filled with these pictures. That's what I saw in my heart. The walls full, and precious people like you going in and laying hands, crying over God's people's needs, that God will bring miracles. Father, we agree. Yes. Come on, all of you, lift your voice and pray. In the Holy Ghost, I want you praying out loud. Lord, we pray that every need will be met, every life will be healed, every soul will be saved, every family brought back together. No more bondage, no more darkness, no more sickness, no more sin. In Jesus' name, bring healing to your people for your sake and glory. And God's people said,
amen.
God's people said,
amen.
Now the address is on the screen. Please send in those pictures through the mail, and we're going to pray for them. They're going to send them from Dallas here. And we're going to do it in California. So do it today. Love you. Bye-bye. Let's give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Come on.